Well, let's jump into the Word of God, see what God has for us today. I believe you'll be encouraged. This is so often what pastors all over the country, I'm in a couple different groups, and we email back and forth or text and different things. But anyway, we get to kind of understanding a little bit what the other guys are doing. And so often this Sunday, is whether it be before, usually it's the one right before Christmas, that so many pastors will preach a very Christmas message, something that has to do. And so today is a message I titled God Sent Love. Okay, and I could not think of a better revelation or something to be able to share with you on what is considered a Christmas message than to share with you about the love that God sent to us. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we're just grateful to be here, Father. Several times this morning already, we've lifted our hands and our hearts in worship and praise unto you, and we're exalting you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have done what needed to be done. You have set us free. You have accomplished what needed to be done through the cross. And Father, you have risen from the dead, sent Jesus, and done all these things for us, empowered us with your Holy Spirit that we may live out the life. And Father, we're just praising you, worshiping you, and thanking you for all these things. Right here and now, Father, I pray, open our hearts to truly receive the message, the word that you have for your people this morning, Lord. And let us be encouraged in faith and encouraged to continue to grow and understand the love and grace that you have sent to us. Lord, we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name we said, amen. Amen. So God sent love. Do you know what was God's plan all along to send Jesus? It was his plan from the very beginning to send love. Send himself, right? God is, you guys with me so far? God is love. And it was God's plan all along to send his son to us, to send his love to us in the form of his son. As we reflect on what happened and as Jesus was born into our world, there's miraculous accounts of it in the Gospels, and supernatural things happen that were not possible to happen any other way, with a virgin birth and some of those kind of things. There was no greater manifestation of God's love for us that he could have come up with than to personify himself, to personify love in the form of Jesus Christ and send him to us. So today I want to show you the connection between the love that God has for you that he sent through Jesus, and the grace that it takes and the faith that it takes to live out your life as a Christian and inherit eternal life. So you'll hear these three words a lot today. It is love, grace, and faith. Okay? And I'm going to show you the connection. And I had never really quite connected it like this, and I believe it'll bless you as well. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in or through Christ Jesus. He had blessed us with all spiritual blessings through Christ Jesus. That means that God has already sent every possible spiritual blessing that was available in the heavenly realm. He has already blessed us with that. He has already sent that to us through Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus was, and he still is, the perfect compilation of all the love of God demonstrated and revealed to us as his dear children. That's Jesus. It was one entire and complete package of his love for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, he says that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay? In this was manifested the love of God towards us, in that God sent Jesus. But in order to fully realize the depths of that love and the depths of God's love for us, we have to comprehend and begin to appreciate a little bit more of how faith and grace and this kind of love that he sent, how it all works together. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, you live by faith in Jesus, knowing that he loved you so much, that he loved you enough to die for you and to give his life for you. It was all part of his plan. It was all something that God came up with. It was his doing. It wasn't something that you earned. It wasn't something you caused to happen. But it is simply yours through divine grace. It is what God wanted to do, and God did. Okay? God created the heavens and the earth. None of us were there telling him what to do. And in the same manner, God determined to send his love to us in the name of Jesus Christ. And none of us made that happen. Okay, God's grace is a fundamental, foundational part of our salvation and our eternal life in heaven. Even as the apostles were spreading the gospel, they were preaching the good news. At one point, Peter came to realize through a revelation of God that the gospel was for everyone. Not just the Jews, but it was for everyone. You remember that whole story where the Peter's having kind of a vision and the sheet comes down and, you know, God, Peter says, you know, Lord, I can't eat this. It's unclean. And God says, nothing I have made is unclean. Go ahead and eat. Okay. In other words, he was saying that he was removing some of the legal barriers to the gospel being for everyone. As Peter came to understand that the gospel was for everyone, he stands up, and if you read that passage, he's talking to the other apostles, and there's some questioning going on about whether the gospel is for the Jews and the Gentiles. And so Peter stands up and he says, wait, I've had a revelation from God. God showed me this in a vision. And he stands up and he tells the other apostles, and I'm kind of summarizing it, but he said, we believe that it's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. So shouldn't it be the same way for these guys? And so he just kind of explains it to them that, you know, we believe we're saved by grace through faith, so why would it be any different for these guys? And the answer, as he says this, was a resounding yes. That's true. Why would God hold back his love from any one of his creation? And so from that point forth, they went forth sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, that God sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of all people, okay? And not just a specific group or not just a certain kind of people, but that his love was poured out unto all of mankind. See, the good news or the gospel is that the love and grace of God is available to all who believe by faith. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The good news or the gospel is that the love and grace of God is available to all who believe in faith or by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, it's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, most of you guys know that I absolutely love to teach and to share with people about God's wonderful gift of grace. It is a huge, tremendous blessing. It is what sets us free. John, in his writing, said in John 1:17, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but what? Grace and truth came through Jesus. So in order to effectively preach Jesus, to preach about the Savior, you have to teach and include things about grace and truth. The first part of that verse we read a minute ago, Ephesians 2:8, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, if you notice what that verse says, it says that you are saved by grace through faith. Okay, grace and faith go together. Okay, you get that? Grace and faith go together. You can have all the faith in the world, but apart from God's grace, it will not save you. You can have all the faith in the world, but apart from God's grace, it alone cannot save you. Likewise, God's grace alone, by itself, does you no good at all. And I'll explain this. It is unearned. It is undeserved favor from God. That's what we many times define grace as. But without applying your faith, you do not receive the grace, the love, the favor, the blessing that God has already sent your way. Remember, all spiritual blessing has been given to us through Christ Jesus, but it has to be reached out and appropriate. It has to be taken in. Okay? It is out there. It's been sent. It's been given. Jesus hangs on a cross and says, "It is finished." He did what needed to be done. Now it's up to us by faith to grab on to what God has already done. Okay, now I titled this message this morning, God Sent Love, because it's critical to understand that God sent His very best. He sent everything He had because He had done everything that needed to be done. He wrapped it all up into one beautiful package named Jesus, and He sent Him to you. But now it's up to you to apply your faith and to receive that gift. John 3:16, most of us know this one by heart. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. In other words, God so loved the world that He sent Jesus to be the object of your faith. He so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son into the world in order for you to see the depth of His love for you, and so that by faith you could be saved from your sin and inherit eternal life with Him in heaven. See, as the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in the Galatian church, remember the Galatians were the guys, they got saved by faith, but then they started straying back into works and legalism. And so as part of Paul's writing to them, he says he wants to encourage them to receive God's grace and stay in that grace. So he tells them that faith works by love. Okay? He tells them that faith works by love, not by outer things, not by what you can do, not by what you can see. Because what they were doing is they were pushing circumcision, okay, and saying that if you were uncircumcised, you weren't saved because you had to do this on top of grace. Okay? And they were adding to it, and it was starting to get out of hand. So Paul writes to them, and he tells them that faith works by love. Okay? Faith works through love. And he tells them that, you know what, it's not about the outward works. It's not about the outward efforts. It's not about cleaning up the outside that is going to help you to understand and realize the love that God has for you. But it's when you're trusting in Jesus that your faith is compounded. It is enlarged. Your faith grows when you believe in and receive the love that God has to you that He sent in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Your faith grows when you receive the love. Okay? Galatians 5:6 says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but only faith which worketh by love. In other words, he's telling them, circumcision doesn't avail anything. That outward stuff you're doing doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't make things that much better. He said, whether you do or whether you don't, that's not the issue. He said, it's all about faith that works by love. Now, this is the very verse that put this whole message in motion. Okay, when I was studying about love, and I find out that faith works by love. Okay? Faith works by love. Faith works by knowing, believing, and receiving God's love for you. Faith works by love. It comes from an understanding. That word worketh in that verse, it says, faith which worketh by love. Okay, if you look it up in the Greek, that word worketh means activates, makes efficient and effective. Okay, in other words, faith is made effective by love. Faith is made efficient, it accomplishes much because of love. And faith is made effective by love. Faith and love go together, just like faith and grace go together in order for you to be effective. Remember, you are saved through grace by faith, right? By grace through faith, put it either way you want. You are saved by grace through faith. They go together. In order to be saved, you have to have grace and faith. Faith works by love. Faith and love go together in order for them to be effective. 1 John 4:9, we started this earlier. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. See, God's unearned love for you was sent to you when he sent Jesus. God sent everything in his one package of love. Romans 5:8 said that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love towards us through Christ. That word commendeth means that he approved his love for us. He introduced his love to us and he exhibited his love to us. It means three things. And he did all of that by sending Jesus to live among us and to die for us. This revelation by mankind of what Jesus Christ did for you before you even lifted a single finger to do something for God, that's what stirs your faith up. It's knowing that Jesus did this without you having to make it happen, without you earning it, without you doing anything. The revelation of that. As an unbeliever, as a lost person, when I was growing up, my early 20s, lived as hard as I could possibly live. Got off so far into all kinds of demonic stuff and began to destroy my life, the lives of people around me. It was all spiraling out of control. And the moment that I realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me personally is the moment I got saved. Because it was at that moment I was not cleaned up. I hadn't done one tiny thing to clean up my life yet. And all of a sudden this revelation came to me that Jesus Christ died for me. And at that very moment my life began to change. Something on the inside changed from that point on. That is God saying that he has approved and introduced and exhibited his love to you. He put it all into Jesus. And at the revelation of that, that's what stirs your faith to then believe and continue on with him. The Bible says that you were saved by grace through faith. And it's likewise that you will only have true faith when you fully understand and receive God's love for you. I hope I'm not saying these words too often, that it's starting to blur together. You will only have true faith when you understand God's love for you. Let me just say it that simple. You will only have true faith when you really understand and receive God's love for you. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus Christ to be this, the manifestation of his love. He wanted us to be able to look at Jesus and receive and to know exactly how much he loved us. And from that, that grace that comes into our life begins to make the kindness and the goodness of God begin to manifest in a Christian's life. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says that God, who is rich in mercy, for this great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has still quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. And He has raised us up together. And He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, that's today, in the ages to come, that's now, that He might be able to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us because of Jesus Christ. That today we can have a revelation of how much God loves us by focusing on Jesus Christ. By knowing that God sent Him to be this all-encompassing package of His love for us. Because of His great love for us, He sent Jesus to show or to manifest the exceeding riches of His grace. So that as we receive His grace, we would anticipate and receive His kindness and His love. Okay, so often grace is defined as God's unmerited favor. It's finding the best parking spot. Okay, it's having healing take place in your body. It is a word of knowledge about a situation that you had no way to know, or a word of wisdom about a situation. It is having revelation from God. It is a warm fuzzy when things are all chaos. Okay, it is those moments of God's favor, divine favor. You didn't earn it, make it happen, but you receive it. And it's like, I didn't even make that happen. I just drove around the corner and, you know, there's my cousin I've been wanting to see for years. And, you know, it's all these things that happen. That's part of God's divine grace. That's His favor upon your life. All of those things are just little bits and pieces of God's goodness and kindness being poured out onto you through Jesus. It's because of your faith that those things are happening in your life. So hopefully you can see how grace and faith and love are all connected. It starts in reverse order. You receive the love that God has for you. And it stirs up a faith inside. And when you begin to believe by faith in Jesus and what He did, God's grace begins to abound and manifest more and more in your life. Okay, God's grace is multifaceted. If you read it in 1 Peter 4:10, He talks about the manifold or the many-faceted, the multifaceted grace of God. Okay, most people define grace as, just like I've said earlier, the unmerited favor of God. And that is certainly true. Grace is unmerited favor. It is God pouring blessing into your life that you didn't earn, you didn't make happen. But it really is an incomplete definition. That definition focuses on the truth that grace is unearned. Okay, that grace is undeserved. It focuses on the fact that grace is a gift. Okay, if you worked for it or you paid for it or you met some minimum requirement in order to receive it, then it really wasn't grace. Okay, grace is unmerited, it's unearned and undeserved favor from God. And that is the main component of grace itself, is that it is something from God. Okay, it is something that God did or does for you independent of you. You had nothing to do with God sending His favor towards you, except you believed on His Son Jesus. You became a believer. By grace, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He didn't wait until you had already lived and sinned before sending His love to you in the form of Jesus. Okay, before sending His grace to you. He didn't wait for things to go bad first. It was God's plan for humanity and not something that you made happen or something that you came up with. God did it apart from you without any help from you. It also needs to be understood that faith is not something that you do to make God move. I so wish there were more people to hear this. There are certain people that really need to understand this. Faith is not something that you do that makes God move. Okay? reading your Bible, confessing the Word, acting on the Word, these kind of things are all involved in the faith process. But in and of themselves, they are not faith. Faith does not make God do anything. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, there is some element or some aspect of reward for diligently seeking God, but seeking God does not mean you have faith. Ask Lee Strobel, right? Guy that wrote lots of books. He was an atheist. He was trying to prove God wrong when he was seeking God. Okay? It just happened that way. Yeah, it worked out great. He got saved. So. Seeking God is not faith. Seeking Him certainly has its rewards, but faith is believing in and receiving what He's already done for you. Okay? It's not trying to get God to do something. How many times have I heard, I could just lose count, if I just had more faith, I'd be able to pray and things would happen. If I just had more faith, God would do this. If I just did this, if I just did that, if I just read my Bible more, then God would do this in my life. One of the major reasons that people aren't receiving more from the Lord today is because they think faith is God responding to something that they do. Okay, and that puts all the pressure on them and the burden on them to perform and to produce. But faith is not something that you do to make God do something. Faith is simply your positive response to what God has already provided by grace. Grace was apart from you. God sending His love was apart from you. It's not based on you and your actions. It's not based on you and what you say or do. It's not based on you and your faith. Okay? It's based on God wanting to send His love to you in the form of Jesus Christ. It's God wanting to send His favor upon you, and from that you receive. If what you're calling faith is not a response to what God has already done, then it's not really true faith. It's you trying to get God to do something that He's already done. Faith doesn't try to get God to positively respond to you. Faith isn't, if I just do enough good things, then God will move on my behalf. That's not faith. True faith is your response and your receiving of what God has already done for you by grace. Okay, that's faith. You appropriate it. You receive it. In order to have faith toward God, you have to receive the love that He sent to you. And you respond to that love by reaching out and appropriating and entreating His favor and His grace into your life. You receive of all that Jesus came to give you. God sent His love to you. God sent Jesus. Right? Isn't that what we celebrate this week? God sent Jesus. Are you guys with me? God sent Jesus. He sent His love to you. And His only desire is that you reach out and receive the gift that He sent to you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved you that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. So I want to encourage you this morning to receive of God's grace and favor. Start receiving. Start anticipating. Start expecting some of the things that God says in His Word that He has appropriated for you. Start anticipating that favor and grace of God. It came with the package. I'm just believing in the package. My Maker put it together. It's got to be good. I'm just going to receive what God wants me to have. God sent Jesus, and that's all I'm going to take in is everything that Jesus gave me, everything that came with that package. So I want to encourage you to receive God's grace, receive His favor and His blessing and His goodness and His kindness, all by setting your faith and your focus on receiving God's love. He manifested that love to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So this time of year, as we celebrate, man, we're talking about Jesus. You'll see him on the news or hear about him. And if you can brush Santa Claus off to the side long enough, you'll see Jesus in all this stuff going on. Okay? Receive all that God sent through Jesus for you. You're a child of God. You're a believer. You're a Christian. There's something special and unique about you, and God sent all that to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Hallelujah. Father God, I praise you this morning. Father, I want to thank you again just for sending Jesus. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you manifested it through Jesus, that we can just reach out and take in what Jesus has done for us. We take in all that favor and that kindness and that goodness and all those things that you have sent our way through Jesus. Father, we believe by faith that we are saved through grace, by faith through grace, Father. We are saved by what you have done, a plan of yours, and now we receive as part of that plan all these good things into our life, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for manifesting. We thank you for growing it. We thank you for stirring it up inside of us, Lord, and causing our faith to be built towards you, that we again turn to you in every situation, that we lean on you. We don't lean on our own understanding, but we trust that you had a plan, and that plan was Jesus. Father, we praise you, we exalt you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Amen.